Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 4th of August, recording at 9:43 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In terms of stock markets, well, it was a quiet day for a change. Most of Asia was slightly higher. Most of Europe was slightly down. The Americas were slightly higher. Most of these moves were under 1%. One of the better gains globally, although still just over 1%, was with the Australian stock market, which is up 1.08%. Now, bonds, also another quiet day. Gilts a little firmer, the others a little bit weaker. But there was some, and currencies, again, the dollar quiet. Here today, about unchanged against most currencies, although I see towards later in the day the dollar weakened a bit against the commodity currencies. And no wonder, because the action, such as it was mostly in the precious metal sector, although copper had a good day as well. And copper swung in a 9-cent range before closing, 10-cent range before closing up 4.3. And in the more dramatic action, though, platinum, as I speak, up $35. Silver, up nearly another 37 cents. It's up at 1462 for the September contract. Gold up $10. It was up 14 at one stage, but that's a pretty solid advance. Crude oil and natural gas quieter, but crude again firm, 71.86. So, what's going on here overall? Well, I should mention, did anything happen in the soft commodities? Not a great deal. They were a little bit mixed here today, although white sugar seems to be, white sugar is firmer, refined sugar. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets, we have short-term overextended conditions. And it's been a very, very good run. We're into the fourth week of this extremely good run. Short-term indicators are overbought. But really, what these moves to the upside have done is to reaffirm the overall bullish technical developments that have been taking place in a staggered fashion, depending on which region of the globe you're looking at, but since the climactic selling last October and November. All this led, of course, by the Asian emerging markets and the resources markets. Some of them look a bit overextended, not least China, which did not get a correction in that May, June, early July period. But continued to push higher. It's overextended. The key day reversal that we saw, quite a dramatic key day reversal in China last week, was certainly a warning shot across the bows, but there was no downside follow through. And subsequently, over the last 4 days, China has pushed back up and into new recovery high ground. But usually, when you see dynamics of that magnitude against the prevailing trend, and this only shows up on a daily basis because the decline has been recovered, but usually when you see dynamics of that magnitude, it means that supply is beginning to move closer to being in balance with demand prior to a spillover into a reaction. Ranging reaction phase, which would be a partial reversion to the mean represented by the 200-day moving average, which is moving higher. I think that's what risk is limited to in all probability. That said, I must add that a number of the Western stock markets, including things like the S&P, the Dow, And most of the continental European stock market indices, developed country continental European stock market indices, have not completed their base formations. When I say most, Sweden has, but the others, very few of the others, have moved above their October-November highs, which I regard as the beginning of the end of the bear market. And the beginning of the end of the bear market is the beginning of the bottoming out and base building process for the new bull market. So, again, those technical pictures have improved by the by merit of the rallies that we've seen that are now in their fourth week. But those short-term conditions, let's say, are overextended. We wouldn't have a serious shakeout unless we saw the early July lows taken out. Now, is that possible? Well, anything's possible in markets. And I have mentioned on a number of occasions that we have to be a little careful in here regarding possible jitters in stock markets as we pass through the anniversary months of last year's meltdown. Now, that doesn't mean that stock markets have to pull back during that phase, but you wouldn't need to be a psychiatrist to understand why investors might be a little nervous as the anniversary of that meltdown occurs. But overall, as I say, that the technical action that we've seen to date has been nothing short of positive. It's just a matter of which markets are leading and which markets are lagging, and we've already covered that, and it's been covered practically daily in these audios. So I personally don't feel there's any reason for me to sell any of my long-term equity positions. I am not looking for buying opportunities at these levels. The best time to buy in these stock markets, and what I've done for the most part, is following reactions. And we had one in that, depending which market you're looking at, that May, June into early July period, ending very abruptly with the upside key day reversals back on July 13 that you may recall. And it's signals like that, following downward reactions, that that create the create the buying opportunities. So, if we do get what I'm saying, is that if we do get any stock market reaction over the next few months, then that would almost certainly be a buying opportunity. Now, precious metals. They still are influenced by the moves on Wall Street. So when the street's firmer, they tend to be firmer generally. When the street's a little bit weaker, they tend to be a bit softer. I've written at length about this here today, so I won't repeat all that. You'll be able to read that if you're interested. But this is good action for precious metals. Remember, we had that little shakeout in the first part of last week, and then they rebounded very strongly, pushed upwards quite strongly in here. And it looks to me as if gold, as I've said on a number of occasions, is on course for another one of its 18-month approximate consolidations, followed by a strong breakout to the upside. Those strong breakouts following the last two consolidations, and I think one was 17 months and the other was 18 months, but the upside breakouts occurred in September. So the firmness that we're seeing now seems to me to be in line with that. Don't ask me why we're getting this repeat pattern here in gold, because I don't know the answer to that. It is in the nature of markets to advance and then pause and go into corrective phases. But why we should get such long pauses in the gold market and then of almost identical duration, time duration, and then to see the upward breaks as we have with the last two in September, and to apparently be on course for a repeat of that this time around. I don't know why that's occurring, but we can see it on the charts. I don't have any trouble justifying a fundamental case for gold moving higher. And again, with all the printing of fiat currencies, with interest rates staying at rock bottom levels, that fundamental background, I feel, is exceptionally bullish for gold. Gold has lagged recently, but we have to put that in context. Gold, second only to bonds, was the first market, asset market, to recover following the meltdown that we saw carrying into last October and November. So gold showed its mettle, as it were, in that period by rebounding very strongly. A lot of that buying, as we said at the time, was due to fear. People were buying on the Armageddon hypothesis. And not to be too flippant, but as Armageddon became less fashionable, it was inevitable, and also discussed at the time, that some of those buyers would move away. Those were short-term holdings. Also, we mentioned that as confidence picked up in other asset classes, that gold had more competition for safe haven investments or speculative and opportunistic in investments. And therefore, people, as confidence grew, people began to move into the more depressed asset classes. Well, they rebounded very, very strongly. So now we could say gold's been biding time, resting, ranging, building support perhaps during that process. But now that the other markets are no longer screaming bargains to the same extent relative to gold, it would not be surprising if over the next few weeks and months, if gold reasserted itself as hard money and began to move up against all currencies. And we would want to see, I would want to see, gold moving up against all currencies to convince me that this was the genuine article. In other words, another major move to the upside. I would not like to see gold back under the $900 level, although that would not abort the pattern, but it would break the progression of higher lows that we have seen here recently. So I think this is quite exciting. And if gold does go up, it does break up out of this range, and the technical picture is lining up in that direction, justified by the fundamentals, as I've said. But if gold does do that on the upside, then I would expect silver and platinum to do even better. I'm talking my book, I think, to a modest extent. My biggest trading positions are certainly in gold, platinum, and silver right now, having reduced some of my currency positions last week. But at this stage, I'm not aggressively leveraged in the precious metals. I may or may not do that, but I like the action overall, and I just wanted to remind you of that I do have positions in those markets. But you know, I don't need to rationalize to say that I'm favorably impressed with today's strength. It's good technical action overall. The industrial metal action is also extremely good overall, and maybe copper runs into a bit of psychological trouble up at the $3 or 300 cent level. It's at 278 right now. That's a round number, and also a level where you can see the old top formation from the last bull cycle in copper. Above that level, so maybe copper runs into some trouble up there. But the point is, this has been the lead industrial metal, and the other industrial metals have all broken up out of base formations, and a lot of them are still historically relatively cheap, particularly on an inflation-adjusted basis. So these are the interesting plays in here right now. I prefer to trade them via the actual commodities themselves, but I do have an overweight investment in mining shares, as you may also recall. And so, exciting stuff. I'll be very interested, particularly interested to see what happens with the precious metals tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.